Mark.
A lovely night in Spain.
Yes, yeah, we're on the plaza where the World's Fair in Spain took place.
Ooh.
Yes, it was a lovely event.
What year was that?
I believe it was 1920 something.
Ah, yes, this does look like 1920s architecture.
Oh yes, definitely. So yeah, they built this plaza. Just all the different countries had a little space, and then in each one of those alcoves is the country's flag and a little mural of things that the country's known for.
Oh, cool.
So in each one of those little tiny alcoves is the flag and something the country's known for. And then the center, there's a huge fountain, and just an absolutely beautiful place. And as you can see by the picture, when we were there, maybe two or three other people were in the whole complex.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just breathtaking.
That's on my bucket list of Spain. So
Oh yeah.
very
Oh yeah.
jealous.
The food, the people, it's pretty darn cool.
I love the painter El Greco.
Yes. Yeah, we went to the Prada, which is the big museum in Madrid. Spent hours in there. It was just so
That's
cool.
awesome. I'm jealous.
Jelly, as the kids say. Yeah.
You did tell me you were practicing yoga.
Yes.
There's a
Practicing my
Yogi Bear Jellystone Park joke in there somewhere, so try to work on
yeah. Let's just start over.
that.
Hey, let's cue the announcer.
Love
In a world filled with uncertainty, two semi-intelligent, somewhat interesting, Midwestern family guy business coaches with dad bods, ooh, provide mildly insightful ideas through their semi-focused dialogue. Welcome to It Doesn't Take a Genius.
Welcome.
Ta-da.
So nice to have you here. Thanks for
So
joining
good to be
us.
here.
When we try to sound natural, we don't. You notice that? Yeah. Sometimes
Well,
it's.
I almost said, in the words of Barry Manilow, looks like we made it.
Yeah, looks like we made it for episode four, we think.
Unless we release these out of order.
Yeah, unless we release these out of order, then pay no attention to the numbering.
And then expect me to say in editing, episode four, and put
Murder,
something over your hand as you hold up four fingers.
murder, yeah. No, yeah, the numbers are irrelevant. And I think that's the beauty of what we're doing here, is they don't build, so you can watch them in any order, and they're just as insightful.
Yeah. Just trying to be a nugget a day, a nugget an episode that gives you something that you can take as a learning to apply immediately. That's the goal.
Yes. Yep. What can I do with this as soon as I turn off YouTube? Click.
Yeah, there it is. There it
Very
is.
cool. Very cool. So, you had some thoughts this week?
Well, this has happened at a few different clients that I work for, but I'm just seeing the value of very small gestures. So as an example, I worked with an organization that had a bunch of different sales departments in different locations, and they all worked with a call center at a central location. And that's always tough, right? There's always going to be just a little bit of tension and friction between the communication and processes between all of those different departments, just by the nature of the beast. And I heard from the call center they had really just had a nice thing happen where the managers of one of the remote offices had delivered pizzas to them. Well, it's just pizzas. It didn't cost that much money. But it was a big deal for just sort of giving them a chance to kind of thaw any ice in the relationship and take some steps forward and progressing together and growing as a team and as an organization. So, a couple of pizzas, that's it. That was the gesture that allowed all sorts of good stuff to flow out of that. So I've just been thinking about those small gestures are really big. So I suspect, Mike, that you've had similar experiences and had things like that happen to you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking about, I was part of a volunteer organization, and it was incredibly busy, asked a lot of time of people. We had projects almost every weekend that we were doing charitable things. Mm. And so we elected a new president, and I'm talking to the president, and he says, I want to come up with an award to recognize people who go above and beyond. And I said, okay, so we have no budget because it's a nonprofit group, so there's no budget. And he says, they're tearing down a building on the square. He says, let's go up there tonight. I got a plan. So we go up there in the middle of the night. We back up to this demoed building, and we start loading nasty bricks into the trunk of his car.
Sure.
And so at the first meeting after one of our projects, he stands up and presents the Adabrick. You are the foundation of our success. And he would hand them a nasty, 100-year-old brick, still had clumps of mortar and moss, you know. And the funniest part was, people were posing to get their picture taken with their Adabrick.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't an Attaboy, it was an Adabrick.
Yep.
And they'd stand there, and it occurred to me at that point was, the actual thing is completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
Whether it's pizzas or bricks or the thing absolutely doesn't matter. It's the fact that somebody thought enough and took time
to
recognize some contribution.
Yeah.
And at that point forward, it never, ever occurred to me that the thing that you gave had to be flashy.
Yeah.
You know, it had to be gold, you know, if it wasn't, you know, 24 karat gold, or it wasn't, you know, a Rolex or whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's just the act of one human being taking time to recognize another human being.
Yeah, that's it. And it happens in the customer experience, obviously. You know, we're talking about employee examples and volunteer examples, but I think back to, you know, big purchases I've made and small purchases I've made.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I remember are not the price of what I purchased. Even some cars I bought, I sort of have trouble remembering, like, did I have that one before this one? But did it have captain seats, or was it a bench? You know, some things that I don't remember. But boy, do I remember some little flourishes that happened as a part of, you know, the purchase experience, where somebody remembered, you know, something about my family, or provided something that was kind of like a value add at the end of the experience. I always think of our buddy Phil. I'll say his full name because he's an excellent coach and consultant, and you should hire him, Phil Brantley. Phil bought, was it a Saab or a Volvo? It had to have been a Saab, knowing Phil. He bought a Saab and mentioned to the salesman that he just, you know, he loves Sweden. So I love everything about Sweden. I even love Swedish fish, something along those lines. And he picks up delivery of his brand new Saab, and there's a pack of Swedish fish laying in the passenger seat. You know, what's that cost? Like, $1.80 maybe. But Phil's still telling a story about, you know, we've talked about this before, remarkable. You know, it means that there was something there to remark on. And so Phil's still remarking on how special that event was. And it wasn't money. It was that somebody took the time to get to know him.
Oh, yeah. Well, they listened. I'll never forget, I was talking to a salesperson, and they were distraught because the finance arm of the organization was causing his customers to wait. And he says, well, I'm sitting there with these people. I have no idea what to talk to them about.
Mm.
And I said, well, why don't you talk to them about the stuff that you learned when you were doing the discovery part and getting to know the customer before they selected the product? And he looked at me dead in the eye and he goes, I don't remember any of that stuff. No. It was a conversation that took place maybe 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah,
I don't store any of that in my head. Ready to move on to the next customer. And you know, the salesperson wasn't all that successful and didn't last very long.
Yeah, how about that?
Surprise. The other thing I thought about when you were talking was this is how Disney built their entire model.
Yeah.
So Disney built the model on just the small delights, the small remarkable things. And I know if we could get them in a room and shake them hard enough, they would tell us exactly what the number is. But their goal is to create these moments that they call, huh. So they just want you to see something and go, huh, oh, that's cool. And they know that at a certain number of these moments that you will then, you know, leave the park, leave their hotel. You will save up for 3 years. And you will spend your most precious thing in the whole world, your vacation time, and come back and do it again so that you can go, huh, that's cool. Yeah. And you think about the manhole covers that, have the hidden Mickeys in them.
Right.
Right. And you think about the people who come back to their room and the towel is folded up so it looks like Goofy.
Right.
And it's sitting on the bed, or you come back to the room and the child's stuffed animal's sitting on the bed and they've put a Mickey Mouse ear hat on it.
Yeah.
There again, the money is almost impossible to measure because it's so small.
Yeah.
And yet people see it and they go, huh, that's cool. And then they know cumulatively,
yep.
if I do enough of these, people will come back and spend another $6,000 in their only week of vacation that they have in their entire life.
And that's truly like the research shows how many years people invest in getting back to Disney World. So it's one of the few places where you have global brand loyalty to the brand, to the mouse, not to a person, a salesman, a clerk, what have you. I think what's fascinating about that is you don't have to do that if you're out there and you're a manager looking to get more loyalty out of your people, or you're a salesperson looking to increase the loyalty of your customers. You're not going to have to go through some big brain trust exercise to determine how many huh moments you're going to have. You really have to just go back to what you said before, that listen word, picking up on things that you can carry forward in the conversation, or maybe you write a note. Maybe I don't want to limit the ideas here, but I can certainly tell you that I've got a number of employees that work for my clients over the years who have said, check this out. And then they'll pull into their file folders and open up a handwritten card, a thank you card from the owner, from their boss, from whoever, that they've kept for 10 years. And some of them I'll say, I heard that you got a note. Oh yeah, but it's at home. Yeah. Like they take it home to treasure it, right? Small gestures.
Oh yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. One of the things I always talk to the managers about when we're coaching on this topic is did your gesture rise to the level that it gets shared at home with the spouse?
Yeah.
And maybe they don't take the thing home, but was it impactful enough that when they went home and their spouse goes, how was your day? And they go, what's the coolest thing? So-and-so saw that I was having a bad day and he came over and acknowledged that and helped me finish something I was working on.
That's it.
Just that recognition that, man, this guy's struggling and here's what I'm going to do to lift his spirits. And so if it rises to the level that they went home and told somebody, that's a big deal.
Yeah. So maybe that's really what we're saying here is remarkable gestures, which are small, not big, but on target enough that somebody actually felt paid attention to and remarked.
So we had... And I have to brag on our team on one of the projects we're working on. We were tasked with doing an 8-hour virtual onboarding. And nothing can be more painful than having somebody sit in front of the screen for 8 hours listening to people, you know, onboard them, share orientation, materials, things like that. And we said, okay, how can we make this, you know, how can we do something that's memorable? Because we know the greatest memory that's going to come out of it is the pain.
Right. Right?
That was the longest 8 hours in my entire life. Right. So how do you break that up? So one of the things we were doing at the beginning, we talked about loyalty and advocacy and how important that is and how businesses generate loyalty and advocacy through those small gestures. And so one of the things I said, so as an example, tell me about, you know, who has the best pizza in your area? And they said, well, you know, so-and-so's Marion's down the road. They've got the best pizza. And we'd let them share their best pizza place and say, all right, so when you order from there, what do you get? And then they told us, you know, well, I get pineapple and ham because, you know, I'm the Antichrist. And so, so we did this, and that there was, on the first time we did, I think there was like 8 people. And that happened in the morning. So we're doing our training and everything going on. And then about noon, people started saying, hang on, I'm so sorry, there's somebody at the door. So they went to the door, and one of the people that were working with us had made notes about everything that they had said, the pizza place, and then they had gone all over the country. These people were spread out all over the United States and ordered them a pizza for lunch from their favorite pizza place.
So good.
And so one of the guys sent the pizza guy away. He goes, you can hear him in the back, I didn't order anything. You need to leave. I'm on a work call. And we're like, no, it's for you. Like, it was that big a surprise. They, you know, they couldn't even get their head around, why are you here?
That's so good.
And for some of them, it wasn't until they opened it, right? So they got a pizza and they thought, okay, they bought us lunch. That's cool. And it wasn't until they opened it and saw that it was exactly made.
My pizza. Order.
Yeah, exactly the ingredients they specified. And to this day, you know, that was a couple of years ago. And to this day, that's all they talk about. They don't remember anything before or after of the 8 hours worth of training. They just remember that was when I knew I was in the right spot. That's when I knew that I'd signed on with a group that I wanted to be a part of. And I wanted to engage with. And so just that little bit of listening and then just acting upon something that we had learned. It was so powerful. It was beyond powerful.
That's so great. And I also hear in that, you know, surprise is an element of this, that there's some little, you know, that's what is, right? Like I wasn't expecting the Mickey Mouse on the, you know, on the wall here in the tiny little corner that nobody can see unless they're standing right where I stand. Why did they put one? Wow, they think of everything here. That's amazing. It's just a little moment of surprise, just like the pizza was a moment of surprise, which I suspect makes that more memorable. I don't know the psychology behind that, but I would guess that the surprise registers in your database more permanently than some of the other stuff.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I actually did one literally last night. So it's May 22nd. It's the last day of school, you know, where we're at. And so my stepbrother is, he's a teacher. He teaches forensic science and, you know, he's an incredible high school teacher. He's just so dedicated to his craft. And so for Christmas, I got him a framed picture of renowned forensic psychologist, Michael Bodden. Which nobody's ever heard of unless you're a fan of forensics, you know, psychology. So I got him a framed autographed photo of Michael Bodden. So I gave it to him for Christmas, and then I texted him last night and I said, do you still have the picture of Michael Bodden? He goes, well, of course. You know, this is a cherished heirloom in the house now. He says, why would you ask? I said, take it down, take it apart. Take the back off the frame. There's this long pause in the texting. And so at Christmas time, before I gave it to him, I'd put a $100 bill inside the frame. And so he dismantles the photo and he's like, "What the heck? This is great." He says, "What is this?" I said, "This is your end of the school year beer money. Go have a cold beer on us," right? He's just over the moon, right? He's usually pretty, he's one of these low-key guys that get really excited and unflappable. He's just over the moon with that gesture.
That's great.
And it was just, yeah, it goes back to like you were talking about, that there was an element of surprise, but also the acknowledgement of a milestone. He'd made it to the end of another school year, and it was definitely not a typical school year. So he'd made it, and we just wanted to recognize, all the good work that he does. And the gift was already in his house. He just had to open it.
So good.
It was so fun. But yeah, if you're thinking about it, the smallest act, the smallest gesture, right? Especially when you're in power, right? If you're the authority figure, I think one of the things that makes it big is that everybody knows you could be somewhere else. So if I'm working in a business and I've got 100 employees and I'm talking to you, that means there are 99 other people that I could be talking to.
That's right.
And I've carved out some time for you. And then if you add something personalized and acknowledge something within that time, yeah, it's just a force multiplier. It's cool if your manager does it, but if somebody even one level up or two levels up recognizes you, yeah, the power that they have is incredible. And one of the things I find is, and you probably see this as well, is most leaders don't know that they have this power, or they don't believe that in the power that they have. I mean, is that something you see?
I 100%, and not realizing the power of their words, like even just the smallest phrase, and people will hold on to the nice job, like, and that's it. That's all that was said is nice job, but it's even more impactful if it is personalized and surprises somebody that they were noticed in that way. We've talked about AID feedback in the past. Here's the action I observed and the impact it had. My desire is that you keep it up in the future. To just lay it out like that. And so that means that, hey, the way you just waited on that angry customer so impressed me that you kept your cool and never lashed back out at this person. And if you noticed, you really took the steam out of their system, and they became much more normal. Thank you so much for being a calming influence here for our customers and for being willing to serve so humbly. Please keep it up. Now, if you said that instead of good job, Tracy, it's going to mean a lot more, right? It's going to mean a lot more. And people will hold on to those words because those were the words that had the weight of the boss behind them.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I learned that lesson. I was head of a statewide volunteer organization, same one with the Attabrick and Ladd, rising to the state, head poobah. And so we had our year-end conference, and there was probably 1,000 people there, and we handed out maybe 900 awards. There was a lot of recognition for a lot of different stuff. So the evening's over, the recognition, all this stuff's handed out. I'm walking down the hallway, and one of the members was walking past me, and I said, "Congratulations on your award." And he stopped me, and he goes, "Thank you. What did I win?" And thankfully, I couldn't remember them all, but I did remember this one. I go, "You were regional director of the fourth quarter, and I appreciate all that it took to make that happen." His face, I mean, he just lit up, right? He just changed his whole demeanor, and he goes hopping down the hall, just just renewed person.
Oh, that's funny.
And he was right. For about 80% of the people walking down the hall, I could have said, "Congratulations on your award," and I'd have been right. And he wanted to know that the leader knew, right? He knew specifically that it was him, what he had done, and what he'd accomplished. And so with that, Yeah, just made his day. And I learned that lesson. I was in my 20s and I was like, oh, it is so important to if you're going to give recognition, to be specific. And
Yeah.
so that it could only, when you're giving it can only apply to the person who's receiving it.
Love
Then it has power.
it. Love that. All right, so employees, customers, we've got a lot of options here for these small gestures. As we're wrapping up, what are maybe a couple tips you'd have for helping somebody put this into their daily practice where they get into a habit of these small gestures?
Well, I've done a few things with that. So we've done the I've had managers do the five pennies. So we challenge them to, in the morning, take five pennies, put it in your pocket, and as you know, the old book, the 1 minute manager, as you catch somebody doing something right, take a penny out and put it on the keyboard of your computer, or put it, on your workstation or wherever. And at the end of the day, you can look down and you can visually go, okay, I did three, right? Or there are no, my pocket's jingling, wasn't a good day. And every manager I talk to, because one of the questions I ask them is, are there, because we don't want to recognize things that aren't truly there. So I have to ask them, is your team in the course of an average day doing more than five things that are worth thanking them for? And they go, oh yeah, there's probably hundreds of things a day that they do that it would be nice for me to call out. And so five is not a stretch to be inauthentic. It's just, let's just start with five. The other thing is using the technology. So now I've got guys, old guys who do sit in front of a computer, that on their Outlook, they've created a reoccurring reminder every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It says, catch somebody doing something right.
Or a smartphone alert.
Yeah, and now the guys have now put the reminder, a recurring reminder, in their phones, and so their phone will pop up and it says, who have you caught doing something right today? Have you caught somebody doing something right today? So, and then one of my leaders, he's decided to hand out the checks, and so he'd never done that before. So payroll day, they still do the physical checks in the envelopes. And so before he does that, he stops and looks over everything to figure out, okay, who did a heck of a job. And then he'll mine the managers for stories of somebody who did something above and beyond that maybe didn't show up
There it is.
in the paycheck. And then it's the he's reminded every 2 weeks at a minimum to hand out all the checks, which is appreciated. And then there are certain people that he's got a story, he knows their story, he knows their extra contribution, and so he calls that out in person. And he's been doing that for a few years now, and he says it's just changed everything. He says people are so excited that I know, I'm a level above the department manager, and that I know at that level this small contribution that they made that made a big difference for a fellow employee or for a customer. So find that reminder system that works for you,
Yeah.
that reminds you to go catch somebody doing something right
Yeah.
and say it.
Solid. Really solid. All right.
Good stuff, my friend.
Yeah. I believe we have an outro to listen to.
Yes. What's our announcer got to say?
Well, I don't know, but let's find out.
And that, I guess, is that. It doesn't take a genius. No rights reserved, nothing trademarked, copyrighted, or even original. Feel free to give it to anyone, anytime, using any and all media formats. Warning, Mark and Mike may or may not make another one. I'm your announcer, and I did not get paid a nickel to do this. They won't even let me tell you my name. So, until next time, if there is a next time, stay safe. Be well.
That's good enough.